You're listening to the Stress in the City podcast, a self-care resource for anxious introverts and people pleasers. I'm Brittany Nicole, your host and podcast BFF. In each episode, I teach strategies for creating a life that turns you on. So, my friend, if you're ready, get your tea and take notes. This is Stress in the City. Hi, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Stress in the City. I can't wait to tell you about this book that I read recently. I actually had to read it twice because there's a lot of information. And I felt like there were so many ways that I could apply the information in my life that I just needed to absorb and reabsorb. So that's why your girl is here today, because I want to share my key takeaways from the book Atomic Habits, which is by James Clear. James Clear is a writer, he's a speaker, and he focuses on habits and decision making and personal development. And that's what it's all about over here. So let's talk about my takeaways from the book Atomic Habits. And I'm going to share a little bit on how I'm actually specifically applying what I've learned in my life to give you some examples of maybe how you can do that for yourself. So the very first thing that I love about Atomic Habits is it's very actionable. It's not one of those books that just gives you advice and tells you what to do, but doesn't exactly tell you how to do it. It's very actionable. He actually includes a lot of like worksheets for you to be able to identify your current habits and guides to be able to make this applicable in your life. And I love a homework. Like every time my therapist is like, can I give you some homework? I'm like, please, I'm dying for homework. So if you're that kind of person, you're that kind of nerd like me, you're going to love this. But the number one takeaway I have to say is for me, and these are not James Clear's words, this is more so the application of it in my life, is slow down. I tend to be pretty ambitious. I tend to take on a lot of things. I tend to overbook myself and expect a lot of myself in a very short amount of time. And then what happens is when I'm not able to do all of the things that I expect myself to do, I beat myself up. Or if I am able to do all of the things I expect myself to do, I burn myself out. So one of the key takeaways for me to apply in my life is slowing down. And there, I really like his approach because it's very neuroscience based. Like he talks a lot about how the brain works and what studies kind of show about building habits and kind of hacking like our own neurobiology to be able to make changes in our lives. So when I say slow down, what I mean is, for example, if, you know, one of my goals is to become more regular at strength training. And something I've always done is, you know, I'll buy a program that's telling me I should do X, Y, and Z 3 to 4 times a week. And, you know, in my mind, I want to feel like I want to believe that. I want to believe, okay, this person has figured it out. I'm going to do what they say and I'm going to get X result. But the reality might be I'm not there yet. I'm not at strength training 3 to 4 times a week yet. Like I need to start with building the habit of maybe just going to the gym, period, and building up the tolerance and laying down those neural pathways to be able to do something that is more challenging. Now, one of the, I would say, like foundational points in his book is building what he calls identity-based habits. And what he means by that is instead of focusing specifically on a goal or an outcome, creating an identity that kind of houses that goal and maybe houses other related goals and connecting with the identity that's associated with it instead of just the outcome. So what that looks like is, for example, if you have a goal of getting straight A's in school, instead of that being the goal and you focus constantly on getting straight A's, you want to build a habit that's like, okay, I am a person that studies every day. And if you are a person that studies every day, chances are you're going to be more accountable with your homework and your projects. You're going to do better on your tests, and getting A's is going to be an outcome, but you're focusing more on the habit of studying. There's a quote in the book where he says, each habit is like a suggestion. Basically, you're telling your brain, hey, maybe this is who I am. I think it's interesting to kind of reverse engineer an identity and look at an identity as something that's made up of habits. That demystifies it a little bit when you think about who am I, or like what kind of person am I? That's a huge question. And it can be something that's difficult to answer or something that's difficult to figure out. But if you look at what do I do every day? How do I spend my time every day? What do I think about every day? Then you can start to kind of figure out what your identity currently is. And you can create a map for yourself of, okay, this is how I'm currently spending my time. And this is the kind of person I am. This is the kind of person I want to be over here. And this is how I need to be spending my time in order to get there. So another takeaway that I have is he talks about creating an environment that makes it easy for you to be successful. So in the moment where you have to choose, do I do the new habit or do I do what I've been doing and what I'm comfortable doing, that it's easy for you to say, okay, I'm going to do this new thing. And I applied that in my life. I'm still working on this, but I think that that thought is really going to help me in the long run. So for example, I am not naturally a morning person at all. I think my like natural rhythm is staying up late and waking up late as well. But for the past couple of years, especially because I have struggled with sleeping, I've tried to get into more of a routine of going to bed a decent time and waking up early. But it is a continuous struggle, y'all, and I hate it. I can wake up. I can go to bed early and I can wake up, but now I'm trying to take it to the next level to where I'm working out in the morning, most mornings. I'm not going to say every morning, but at least during the week before I go to work, I would love to be a person that wakes up early, does my little workout, and then I go to work. And I love how I feel when I do it, but there is just something about getting out of the bed and working out. Like, my mind just won't. Every morning I'm like, okay, got my plan. I got my this, my that. I wake up and I'm like, nope, we're going back to bed. And so trying to apply this theory of making it easier for myself to be successful, I looked at the obstacles. All right. So I struggle with waking up early. Why? Probably because I didn't go to bed early enough and I'm waking up tired consistently. Okay, that's an adjustment that I can make. Go to bed earlier. That creates more of a successful chance for me in the morning of wanting to get out of the bed. Two, it's already difficult for me to get out of the bed. It's dark. I like to wake up with the sun. Like, why would I make it more difficult for myself to get from my bed to the gym when there's so many steps involved with that? I've got to get up. I've got to take the dogs out, feed the dogs. I've got to find clothes to wear, get dressed, get my bag, get in the car. And I need to do that all before I have to actually get started with work for the day. So I'm not really creating an environment where it's easy for me to be successful because I have so many obstacles to overcome. And I haven't even built this habit yet. I'm trying to get out of the bed and to the gym, but there's so many steps that have to happen in between that it creates a more difficult environment for me than it needs to be. So I said, all right, let's take the gym out of it. Maybe the gym is something that I do after work, on the weekends, whenever. What if in the morning I just worked out at home? I have tons of weights. I have bands. I have YouTube video playlists, etc. Let me just do that. That way, literally all I have to do is get out of the bed and work out. That eliminates a lot of steps for me that I don't have to overcome when I don't feel like overcoming it in the morning. So I have been doing that consistently. It's not a habit that I can say is like,
anchored into my bones yet, but I think that it's going to help me immensely to just simplify this for myself instead of thinking that I have to do the morning routine that you see on social media in order to be successful. I've got to do what everybody else is doing. Okay, so this next thing is kind of like a sub point because I'm still technically under the concept of creating an environment that's successful for you. But I love that he brought out how habits are context dependent, and we should be relying more on the environment to get us to from point A to point B rather than motivation, because motivation is not always there. It's not always available. It's not always consistent. But if you create an environment that, but your environment is going to be more consistent than your motivation 9 times out of 10. Now, this is an interesting fact. Studies show that the human body has about 11 million sensory receptors, and 10 million of those are for vision. Why that matters in the context of environment is we want to work toward creating visual cues in our environment that will trigger the habit that we're trying to build. So let's say you want to drink more water. Keeping water bottles around in common places that you are is one way to just make it easier for you to do that. And I found that this works. I have been doing this like for a while. I didn't even know about this habit thing when I was doing it. I just noticed that when I had specific cups that I would drink my water out, like I'd have my tumblers around the house. Tumblers? Is it tumblers? I don't even know what it's called. Anyway, I'd have these big cups that I get from Amazon. And if I had my cup, I'd drink my water. If I didn't have my cup, I didn't drink my water. So I bought several of them and I keep one in the house. I keep one in the office. I have one in the car. And so like wherever I'm at, there's probably a water resource in the room, and it helps me to drink more water. I don't really have to think about it. It's right there. Now, the last takeaway that I'm going to share, and I'm going to say that, like, please read the book, because I'm barely scratching the surface. I am barely scratching the surface. And there's so much useful, actionable information here. If you're trying to make any change in your life, I really, really recommend reading the entire thing, breaking it down, figuring out ways to apply it in your life. But the last thing that I'm going to share is something that he calls temptation bundling. So the concept of this is built around the fact that when we are anticipating something, that's when our brain actually releases dopamine. Let's say you're going out to a restaurant that you love, thinking about the restaurant, what you're going to get there, what you're going to wear, who's going to be there. Like all of those things, all of that anticipation is what releases dopamine. How to apply that in this context is finding a way to make doing the hard thing that you're trying to do more attractive. Oh, this is what I did in my morning routine that I'm developing. I don't like waking up in the morning. I do like working out, but not enough to wake up in the morning. But something I love to do is meditate. So I set up my routine to where at the end of my routine, I do a meditation, and it's almost like, okay, that's my reward. That is the reward for me, is being able to meditate and get into the space that I like being in, but I got to do this hard thing first. And you can do that with a lot of things. I also kind of do that with shopping, shopping is a habit that I need to break, but I have definitely rewarded myself with a little retail therapy when things get stressful and frustrating. But don't do that. That's not good advice. Temptation bundling, I think, is interesting because you shift your mindset from, okay, I have to do this thing, to I want to do this thing. An overall thread of the book is find ways to make whatever it is you're trying to do more enjoyable. Like there are definitely going to be some things that you have to do that you can't enjoy, but use your creativity as much as possible to try and figure out how to make it easier for yourself to do this. And the thing is, when you do that at the beginning, the consistency helps to build up your tolerance. It helps to build up your muscle memory, so to speak, for whatever it is you're trying to do. And it just becomes easier. And once you have the habit built into your brain, you don't have to use as much energy to do it because it becomes automatic. Essentially, what we want to do when we're creating habits is making it as automatic as possible. And that's how it becomes a part of your identity. Now, this same theory of making your habits attractive works in reverse for breaking a habit. If you're trying to break a habit or stop from doing something, then create obstacles in between yourself and the habit, so it's not as easy to do. I remember in the book, he gave the example of playing less video games. So let's say if you're trying to play less games, then when you're done playing, instead of just leaving the console out, unplug it, put it away, put it in the closet, somewhere where you don't see it, so it's not calling you in with its siren song. And that makes it a little bit easier to fight the urge to do it because it's out of sight, out of mind. And I think that's really practical. I think a lot of the things in the book are really practical, really doable. And as someone who's very committed to growth, and I think a lot of people who listen to this kind of content are also committed to growth. If you haven't read it already, this is an awesome book for you to read. So that's all I have to say for now. I am in the middle of it for the second time, so I might have some more insights in my life later, but these are the strongest ones for me. And I hope that this information is helpful for you too. So thank you so much for listening to today's episode. And if you like Stress in the City, then I'm not going to tell you what to do, but you can subscribe wherever your pods are casted, comment, interact, and actually, more importantly, if this is helping you, if this is valuable for you, share it with somebody else, someone that you love, friend, coworker, dog, whoever, and maybe it can help them too. Thanks again for listening. I'll talk to you next time.